The believers in the church at Laodicea had become dispassionate about Jesus and seemingly content with a tepid faith. Jesus called them lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. Lukewarm Christians say things like, "Let's not get too excited about things," and "There's no need to get fanatical." They also sing lukewarm hymns like, "Joyful, joyful, we kinda like thee. Above average is thy faithfulness. My hope is built on nothing much, and I surrender some." To those who desire more than a lukewarm faith, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
Hello, and welcome to this Thursday edition of Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for stopping by. Well, in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus had some strong words for the church at Laodicea. It has become dispassionate, distasteful, deceived, and dangerous. These are the earmarks of a lukewarm church. But as hopeless as that may sound, there is a remedy. Ron shares it with us today as he wraps up his teaching series, Ready for His Return, based on Revelation chapters 1 through 3. Stay with us now, or come see us at somethinggoodradio.org to listen on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. From Revelation chapter 2, here's Ron with part 2 of his Something Good Radio message, Laodicea, the Lukewarm Church.
So what are we learning about the lukewarm church? It's dispassionate. It is distasteful. It is deceived. Fourth, it is dangerous. It is dangerous to be a part of a lukewarm church. Look back in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Does anything about that strike you as strange? Why is Jesus standing outside of the door and knocking as though he is a stranger? As though he's a guest that doesn't belong there. He's the head of the church. He said, "I will build my church," not your church. But they have kept him at a safe distance. They have kept him. They've locked Jesus out of his own church. That's a dangerous place to be. You don't want to lock the head of the church out of his church. And yet there are so many people here today and in our culture today, churches even, that, you know, they talk about spiritual things, they talk about God, and you can define that any way you want. Oh, let's not talk about Jesus. He's a little too divisive, a little too demanding. Not everybody's comfortable with Jesus, and so they keep Jesus at a safe distance. At such a safe distance, he is locked out of his own church, left to knock on the door and ask for entrance. Dangerous, dangerous place to be. Well, what's the remedy for lukewarmness? I mean, we can all feel a little bit convicted by all of this. Dispassion, distaste, deception, a dangerous spiritual state to be in, this lukewarmness is. Is there a remedy, and can we find that remedy in the letter? Well, fortunately, we can. I think it's a fourfold remedy, beginning with a fresh vision of the glorified Jesus. Now it's time to go back to the beginning of the letter, to verse 14, where Jesus describes himself as, listen to this, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning, or the originator is a better translation, of God's creation. Let's break that down a little bit. First, he says, I'm the Amen. Now, we use the word Amen in our prayer life. We kind of tag it on to the end as sort of like a period, maybe an exclamation point, signifying that we're done with the prayer. It literally means, so let it be. In another way, it means I have nothing more to add. To say that Jesus is the Amen is to say that he is the perfect and final revelation of God. You don't need to add anything. I would say to the Mormons, you don't need to add the Book of Mormon. We have the final revelation of God, who is also the Alpha and the Omega. He has the first word, and he has the last word. Don't add anything to it, okay? He is the Amen. The writer of Hebrews affirms this by saying, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Yeah, we can go through the Old Testament and be amazed at all the word of God that came through the prophets who said, thus saith the Lord. But in these last days, says the writer of Hebrews, he has spoken to us by his Son. And when Jesus speaks, we say, Amen. So let it be. He's also the faithful and true witness. We might say a reliable witness who never strays from the truth. The Laodiceans could trust his word as we can. Trust the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Have an answer to somebody who, like Pilate, said, oh, what is truth? Either out of curiosity or a little bit of skepticism. What is truth? People are asking that today. This Jesus is the faithful and true witness. He is also the beginning, again, a better translation, the originator of God's creation. Anybody who is worth listening to, boy, you just go back to the moment of creation. Genesis chapter 1, you can find the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit right there in the moment of creation. And New Testament writers pick up on this. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, all right, not far away from Laodicea, he writes in Colossians 1:16 of Jesus, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And John, in his gospel, the gospel according to John, he introduces this Jesus by saying, he was in the beginning with God, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The only appropriate answer to that is, so let it be.
Amen.
Amen. What's the remedy for lukewarmness? A fresh vision of the glorified Jesus. You cannot remain in a state of passivity and complacency and, oh, how I kind of love Jesus singing when you see Jesus for who he really is. Second remedy is repentance. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. Jesus says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Notice, first of all, Jesus loves the Laodiceans. There's no question about that. And the evidence of his love is this letter. If he didn't love them, he would have never written this difficult letter. Because as the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, every earthly father disciplines his kids. And he uses that to say, in effect, if you've never experienced the Lord's loving discipline, you may not be one of his children. Because any loving father would do so. Oh, I know it. You know, some parents say today, no, I just want to raise little Johnny and little Susie to be whatever they want to be. You come talk to me when they're 15 or 16. Tell me how that's working for you. A loving father, loving mother, doesn't abuse their kids. Don't go there and deflect. We understand that's not what we're talking about, but a loving father, loving parents, reprove, correct, discipline their kids. It's a sign of love. And so Jesus writes to the Laodiceans. He says, those whom I love, you Laodiceans, I reprove, I correct, I discipline. And he goes on to say, so be zealous and repent. Listen, lukewarmness is more than a temperature of the heart that makes Jesus sick to his stomach. It is a sin from which to repent. It is a condition of the heart and soul that is diminished. And I want you to think a little bit of that picture of the cold water for Colossians, the warm water, hot water from Hierapolis. Anybody understands that as it travels along the aqueduct, naturally it's going to lose its hotness or lose its coldness. And the idea is that the natural tendency of the human heart is toward a dispassionate disposition toward God. The human heart, unless guarded, less carefully guarded against that which sucks the passion and burning holy zeal out of us for God, will drift in that direction. And so Jesus tells them to repent. Treat it like the sin that it is, this dispassion in you, this complacency toward the things of God, this desire for just a warm cup of milk in the sunshine as you come to church periodically. The third remedy is zeal itself. Zeal, zealousness, is the opposite of lukewarmness. You say, well, Pastor, what is zeal? Well, I'm glad you asked, because J.C. Ryle has kind of written the classic description or definition of holy zeal. He says, a zealous man, or we might say a zealous woman in religion, is preeminently a man of one thing. It is not enough to say that he is earnest, hearty, uncompromising, thoroughgoing, wholehearted, fervent in spirit. He sees one thing. He cares for one thing. He lives for one thing. He is swallowed up in one thing, and that one thing is to please God. Does that describe you? Are you zealous to please God and to do what he tells you to do?
We'll be right back with more of today's Something Good message from Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Would you like to have a more passionate prayer life? If so, here's a resource that can help. Ron's latest full-length book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Join Ron as he guides you, phrase by phrase, through the power and beauty of the Lord's Prayer. That's The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50. A 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Now let's get you back to Dr. Ron Jones and the rest of today's Something Good Radio message, Laodicea, the lukewarm church.
The final remedy for lukewarmness that I see in the letter here, I would say, is just intimacy with Jesus. Let's go back to chapter 3 and verse 20, where I read the first part of the verse that says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Jesus goes on to say, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." Now, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 is often used evangelistically to encourage people to sort of open the door of their heart. And as you're speaking to a lost person, we'll say, "You know, Jesus is there standing at the door of your heart knocking. Will you let him in? Open up the door and let him into your heart." That's not what this verse is talking about at all. This is not a salvation verse. Okay. We're not opening the door of our heart to let Jesus in. We're proclaiming our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who saves us from the penalty of sin. So be careful with the language that we're using here. This is not a salvation verse. This is a fellowship verse. This is written to believers, to the church, who have kept Jesus at a safe distance. who've locked him out of the church, and he says, no, I'm standing at the door knocking. You want to treat me like a guest, like a stranger? I'm coming over to your house to have dinner with you tonight, which is a very intimate thing to do. Yeah. And so you get invited over to somebody's house for dinner and sit down and have hopefully more than just casual conversation. The last dinner that Jesus had with his followers was in the upper room. What an intimate conversation that was. And he talked about the vine and the branch. He said, remain in me and let my words remain in you. He talked about walking intimately with him. The point is this, intimacy with Jesus chases away lukewarmness. You can't be in the presence of Jesus in an intimate way. You can't be close to him and walk away with a tepid spirit. And perhaps one of the reasons the church at Laodicea, let alone maybe our church or individuals in our church, are not burning with holy zeal is you're not spending time with him. Amen. You kept him at a close, safe distance. I kind of know where Jesus is over here, but let's not get too excited about this. I don't want to wear my religion on my sleeves. Oh, how I kind of like Jesus once in a while when he does what I tell him to do or want him to do. Lukewarm, dispassionate. Even the Holy Spirit who came in tongues of fire, remember in Acts chapter 2? What a picture there. He burns with holy zeal in us, in those who are wholly yielded to him. And lukewarmness threatens, that zeal. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. In the original language, it's the picture of taking a bucket of cold water and throwing it on a fire that burns. It says, the Holy Spirit is like a fire that burns within you. Don't quench him. Don't put the fire out. Let that fire rage within you. That is the source of your zeal, your passion, that burning heart for him. Elsewhere, Jesus said the Holy Spirit is living water. He's living water. And if we're not careful, pardon the analogy here, but sometimes we can be like that young man urinating in the Portland, Oregon water supply. Because our sin, our unconfessed sin, our life of sin contaminates the living water. And it doesn't flow through us as it should. This is why daily confession and repentance is a discipline we must learn as followers of Jesus. Is any of this hitting home this morning? It sure is for me. Boy, I'm not immune to any of this as a pastor. Just because, I'm a professional doing this, right? No, it doesn't immune any of us as pastors. I have to guard my heart as much as any of you do, as much as all of us do. Do you have a burning heart? Do you have a cold heart? Just cold to the things of God? Do you have a lukewarm heart? Either of the two latter ones, cold or lukewarm, you will keep Jesus at a safe distance, or maybe from a very, very far and remote distance if your heart is cold. But even a lukewarm heart will show up in church once in a while. It's good for me, good for the family. But absent is the burning, holy zeal that Jesus expects of his church that is ready for his return. Ready for his return. Now, are there any rewards for those who conquer lukewarmness? Well, there are. Look in verse 21 and 22. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. As I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Just one reward here. If you conquer this thing called lukewarmness, if your heart burns with holy zeal and desire for Jesus and his mission to make disciples of all nations, He's going to say, hey, come on in here. Sit down on the throne with me. Can you imagine that? He sat down on the throne next to his father. And he wants everyone who burns with holy passion and zeal, he wants to say, come help me rule. Let me share some of my authority with you. It reminds me of the time where the New Testament tells us as believers in Jesus Christ, we're not only children of God, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's sharing some of this with us for those who burn with holy desire. One more question, because we're finishing up this series. It's a question we've been asking ourselves throughout the series. Are you ready for his return? Should he return today, is he going to find you and me and us in a state of a burning heart, holy zeal within us, ready for his return, anticipating his return, so excited about his return? Or are we just here singing, oh, how I kind of like Jesus?
Thanks for joining us for today's Something Good radio message, Laodicea, the Lukewarm Church. And I'm pleased to now welcome in Dr. Ron Jones. Ron, you mentioned the fact that Jesus writing this letter is proof that he loves the Laodiceans. Let's talk about that idea a little further as you close out this teaching series, ready for his return.
Well, Brian, Jesus reaches out to this lukewarm church in Laodicea and offers fellowship because he loves the lukewarm people in that church. He wants to have a deeper relationship with them. That's the point I was trying to make. And consider this, some of the most compelling evidence of God's love for us is that he never stops communicating with us. Whether it's in his holy inspired word, or the stars in the heavens that declare his glory, or the very DNA he put inside all of us that includes the knowledge of his existence, Brian, God never stops reaching out to us. A person who says God is being silent is a person who is not listening. God is speaking, he is talking all the time in a variety of ways, and that is proof positive that he loves us. And that's the takeaway I want our listeners to hold on to from this teaching series. God is speaking to us today through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living word, and through this book we call the Bible, which is the written word. And because God is speaking to us, that means we are loved.
It really is true, Pastor. When we keep lines of communication open, it points to a desire to sustain or improve that relationship. Great way to close out this series of messages. Now, before we go, let's talk about your next series, Standing Strong, which starts tomorrow right here on Something Good Radio.
Well, Brian, I have a singular purpose for the series, and the title pretty much gives it away. I want to help us stand strong in our faith. And I'll take us to the Old Testament book of Daniel to help us get there. This series, titled Standing Strong, focuses on the first six chapters of the book of Daniel. Now, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was praying, and he said, Father, I gave them your word, but the world hates them. He used that exact expression, the world hates them. And this is still true today. The world hates Jesus, and by extension, the world hates his followers. So the question is, how can we be in the world but not of the world? How can we stand strong in our faith, particularly in a godless culture like ours here at home and in many other places all over the world? That's where we're headed for the next couple of weeks or so, and I believe God will help us find some wisdom about how to be a light in an ever-darkening world, and like Daniel, how to stand strong in our faith.
The series is called Standing Strong, and Dr. Ron Jones kicks it off tomorrow in his message, Standing Strong in a Godless Culture. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for listening.